Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Chilling with Canada, where we talk about anything and everything. I have a great show ahead of you guys today, so don't go away. Episode of Chilling with Canada. This is a good episode. We're gonna have a good time. We're gonna talk some positivity. We're gonna make people feel good about who they are and let people know that they have a purpose in this world. I got a special friend of mine joining me today, you guys. I met him through Facebook when I was in the process of selling an old microphone of mine that I had. He definitely was like, I want that, and he got it. This is a friend of mine, and let me tell you a little bit about him before he comes on here. He's got two doctorates, one in Christian music, and he's got another one in divinity. He recently just did his 10th vlog on YouTube called Getting It Straight from Dr. Al, and it's on Al Wayne TV. And it's pretty much, he discusses his many different situations of just overcoming, you know, some personal stories that he shares with people. And it's great. It's kind of similar like the things that I do, which is why I want to kind of dedicate this episode to his show and what he does. And you can find him on both Facebook and Instagram, both at Al Wayne TV. So joining me in the show today is a buddy of mine, Al Wayne. What is going on, Dr. Al? How are you doing, man?
Hey, what's going on, Rob? How man, you doing, man?
This is exciting. This is definitely exciting. So for those of you who don't know, we did an episode yesterday with a buddy of mine. He was at my house, and again, it was a little bit of technical difficulty, so I didn't post that one, and I had to do a separate one. But he will be back with me this week, actually. So I texted out Dr. Al, and I said, hey, man. I said, why don't we just do a 30-minute segment, just me and you? And he was like, wow, I am down. Cool. He was down. How excited are you, man? Definitely.
Man, I feel good about it, man. Because yesterday we did 17 minutes in. And I felt like we could have kept going because this is how we met, talking to each other.
That's it, man. I showed up at your house with a microphone, expected to drop it off. And I ended up staying there for almost an hour just talking, you know, just and that feels good to be able to know that there's other people out there that will talk forever. And we talked about everything, man, different stuff. You know what I'm saying? It was just it felt great, man. How did that make you feel, you know?
Man, it was great. The next time I should just cook dinner and we can sit down and eat.
That's it. You were showing me some tasty plates that you had there, man. Big old chicken. Hamming down on some food, huh, man? Cooking, man. I wish.
I do cook. I can't eat a lot, but I can. I cook for the visual. They call it porn food.
That's it, man.
So I'm in a group with 1.5 million followers, and I'm getting ready to do some broadcasting out of that group as well. Starting next month, I'll be actually reaching 1.5 in one group. And so I'm pretty, I get to share all of my videos and go live in there.
I'm pretty excited
about that. Eventually, I have a cooking vlog as well.
You just trying to get all of them out there, huh, man? That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
man.
Hey, YouTube, like, there's no limit. As long as they can put an ad on your stuff, hey, I have 20 vlogs.
Ain't that the truth, man? But I do want to talk about kind of not too in depth of my what we talked about yesterday about the courage and determination, but I just really want to get your perspective on both of those words, you know, courage and dedication. Kind of what, maybe an example of how you may have used that in your lives, because you know we've all had to apply courage and dedication more than 100 times in our life. Maybe if you want to share something like that, and maybe how those words affect you as a person.
Well, I got a bigger story than I did last night, so I'm glad I actually get a second chance.
Cool, man. Let me hear it.
I know where I got the courage from. Growing up as a child, I was bullied. And I'm very passive. So whatever they did to me, you know, I'm upset, of course. But I was afraid to hit back because I thought they were going to do worse. So they put you in this position where you're afraid of them. And that's why kids today do what they do, because they don't want to go to school because they're being bullied. They don't want to live anymore because they're being bullied. But what brought me out of that situation of being afraid totally of anything, the last time I got bullied in school was in the eighth grade. Mind you, I've been kicked, I've been spit on, and believe it or not, this was a black guy that kept bullying me for like 3 years. And one of my friends spoke up one day. He said, "If you hit Albert again, I'm gonna do something to you." And ever since then, he never touched me. But in the summer, that friend that I had that saved me from the fear that I had, he died. He was an eighth grader going into high school. He never made it to high school, and he died. And so, ever since then, I stopped being afraid, and I was able to finish high school with a 3 point something. I was high. I was like 10th to graduate, 10th in line as far as the smartest. And I had saxophone solos. I had all kind of stuff going on. So that's where I conquered my fears. And then when I went on to college, everything was easy getting up and speaking in front of people because I was in public speaking, speech communications. It became easy. So then when I got ordained to preach, that was easy. Singing on stage, that was it. Everything's easy now, you know. That's what actually made me conquer my fears and get the courage in order to do the things that I need to do, was that one incident where he saved me from that bully that had me scared for 3 years. And then he died the same summer. And I knew then at a young age that God had sent him to be my angel. And that's how I, you know, conquered fear.
Man, so
nothing scares me now.
Let me pause you real quick, because everything that you just said was me. This is so strange and how we met. Like, everything you just said, it happened to me, man. I was bullied, you know, and I didn't want to be the one to stand up to that bully because I was just worried he's going to kick my butt even more. You know what I'm saying? And it took courage to finally, I didn't even do it. My buddy, just like you, had to be like, "Hey, man, leave that kid alone." You know what I'm saying? He's not bothering you. Why do you keep messing with him? And after that, he stopped. But you can continue, man. But I just, that's crazy to me how that story is so similar to the way I grew up, man.
Yeah, so now every time I meet somebody, because I'm always branding, branding my ministry, branding my gifts, branding my vlog show. I'm always branding my music. So now I'm not afraid to speak to a stranger, you know, bullying or have you afraid to trust anyone. And so I now have the ability to market myself because I did conquer that fear. And there's a lot of things that I do want to accomplish. I'm 51 years old, and I I've seen it all, probably done half of it. But I, yeah. And so I've been around the block a few hundred times, and there's still some things that I need to do before I leave this earth. And I'm not afraid to try. I'm not afraid to try.
That's it, man.
And I have, yeah.
That's great, having that courage, man. So, since you shared it with us, yesterday. I assume that you're not, you know, you don't mind sharing it again, but you had said you have a some type of sickness, man. I can't exactly.
Yeah, man.
Go ahead.
I can go to the beginning of it. Well, I was actually born with it, but a lot of sicknesses don't manifest themselves until you're older. And so I was born with a protein deficiency. And I don't know if I got it from my father or my mother. Back in 98, I had to go to the hospital because my leg had swollen real bad. And I didn't know, I thought it was a spider bite or whatever. So I went to the hospital and they actually admitted me to the hospital and put me on antibiotics. So the next day they came in and they said, it's not a spider bite, it's a blood clot. And I, mind you, it was a huge lump. It was like an ankle-sized lump on the inside of my shin. And I was very afraid that something major was happening. And I didn't know how extent blood clots were until he told me that I had to stay there until it was gone. And that was like a whole week. So right then I knew that I was going to eventually start having a problem. And so that one left. And then back in 2005, it came back again, same leg, except this time it took me to the ER where I actually lost consciousness and I was unresponsive. My heart had stopped. And once they did all the x-rays and everything, they told me that my lungs, the top of both lungs, had were full of blood clots. And I didn't know what to say, but it took them 40 minutes to bring me back. So when I got to where I was actually able to do anything mentally, because when you actually lose consciousness and you're unresponsive and your heart stops, your brain begins to die. It only takes a 15 seconds for it to actually die if they don't start you with oxygen. And so they kept oxygen on me. When I came back, I couldn't smell out of both nostrils, and to this day I still can't smell that strong out of one of them. And so I came back and I started getting my personality back, and it came back talkative, more outgoing. I stopped holding my tongue, you know, as we say in the old days, biting my tongue. I stopped biting my tongue. I say whatever's on my heart. And that's why the vlog is, because I just want to say what's on my heart so that somebody can actually get something out of it and they can do better. And, you know, my vlog is like a preventive measure. It's prevention, suicide prevention, bully prevention, depression prevention, all kinds of prevention can, you know, it can come if you just go and listen, because I'm sharing to you what happened to me and telling you that how I made it. And as you can see right now, I didn't make it because I'm talking. And so after that, I wrote a song in the hospital called What Don't Kill You Make You Stronger. And I actually play that song at the end of my vlog every time after the show, I play that song and I tell a little story about it. Just in case you haven't watched the other episodes, I tell a little story about it. I was in the hospital when I wrote this song after a near-death experience.
Man.
And so.
Go ahead. No, I'm sorry.
And so it's just everything that happened in the past, bad, is it turned around for my good, and I'm actually using it to glorify God and to help someone along their journey.
Man, you count, man. You really you had to have good, you know, just motivation and to move on. Like, what, who, of course, I'm guessing you had family there to support you through all these hard times, but who was, like, your biggest motivator at that point in time, man? Like, who kind of kept you going when you were feeling down and feeling scared?
My sister. Well, I actually wasn't scared. The whole ordeal, man, the whole ordeal was like surreal. So I was more shocked than scared. It wasn't a thing where I was ever scared, because they didn't tell me what happened. I had to find out like a year later, looking at my medical records. I had to access my records. And so my sister is the one that she you know, basically she's my rock. She's my when I'm lonely, I know I can talk to her. She's a pastor as well, and so we get along fine. She's like one of my best friends, you know, with legs. And so she was there. She came down and stayed with me in the hospital a couple of nights, and all the way from Tennessee to Georgia. She came down. Yeah, she came down and stayed in the hospital with me for a couple of nights. And then I had some more friends there. But she's the one that I go to when something's wrong. That's the one I can turn to.
That's awesome,
my sister,
man.
She's my oldest sister. You know, I don't have to go outside the family to find support. I can get it right in the family.
That's great.
Financially, spiritually, mentally, physically, whatever it is, I do have a strong family.
And that's support. Good to have, man. You know, and I tell people all the time that, you know, there's people who don't have a family, you know, and don't have anyone
right.
like that. And that's part of my thing, too, is invite somebody to be part of your family. You know, it doesn't matter their skin
right.
color or the way they act or do things. That person just wants to feel loved, you know, and loved more than loved by friends, you know. Make that person feel welcome. You know, I've invited
right.
strangers in my family, you know, like, there ain't no reason to sit by yourself. Come on, let's go. Come over for Christmas dinner or something like that, man. You know, there's no point of you sitting home and being by yourself. So having that person in your family, man, that's great, man. That is fantastic.
Right. It's awesome. If you don't have family behind you, you don't really have anybody. Now, strangers will actually treat you better than people that you've known all your life.
That's a fact.
And so, yeah, I do have a lot of new support as far as this vlog. Because when they go to it, they instantly attach themselves to me because I said something that may stick out, and it's a part of their life as well. So I try to cover everything, and I'm only doing it 3 days a week because I don't want to run out of anything to say. So I give myself a day to think about what I'm going to say.
Hey man, that
yeah,
ain't nothing wrong with that. Shoot, I write stuff down and read from it, man. You know, throw my own stuff in there, but
all I write down is the word of the day. That's it.
There you go.
All I write down is the word of the day.
Right on.
And most of my words of the day, they came from my early my Facebook post years when I first started Facebook. I was doing quotes every day coming from the Spirit of God. And so I actually go back and I look those quotes up and I write them down and I use them on my vlog. So like I said, everything that happened to you in the past, you can use it for your good in the future. The Bible said all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And so that's what, whether it's good or bad, you can use it to your advantage. It can make you into the greatest person you can be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I work for the school system, man, and this is kind of a a touchy subject for me, so just kind of bear with me, but you'll understand. So there's a school, you know, it's low income. It's a low income school, and the kids that go there, they're not the greatest. They just need a little bit more attention, you know. And when I look at these kids, I see myself angry, frustrated, no respect for anybody, not even teachers. And I have a few kids that, you know, I kind of want to keep on track. And they're actually in fifth grade, so they're actually going to middle school next year. I haven't been at this school for long, but the kids that I kind of talk to and kind of just want to keep them on the right track are who I was as a kid. And I hit rock bottom. I hit rock bottom and I was stuck. And when I hit rock bottom at first, I didn't have no, you know, I have a mom. But at that time, I made the decision because I thought life was easy and would be better by myself. I made the silly decision to not speak to my family. And there was times where I didn't talk to my family and I was doing silly things that I shouldn't have been doing. But at that time, I didn't care. My whole point is when I talk to these kids is let them know. You don't ever know what's going on at the house. You know, what are they leaving school and going into? If it's a great household, perfect. But some of these kids go home and they're just not paid attention to. They're just not in a right living situation. So I try to be that positive motivator for them. And I was talking to one of them the other day. And it was a fifth grader. Of course, he's leaving. And I don't say any names or anything like that. But he's got potential, you know, but he's just a troubled kid and he's got anger problem like I did. He doesn't care. You know, he thinks life's going to be easy when he leaves, you know, elementary school, go to middle school, and then he thinks he's grown. And at the end of the day, you're not grown. You're still a kid. You still have to respect the elder people.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Your parents, all that stuff. And I actually got emotional talking to him because I told him what I shouldn't have gotten into the detail that I did, but I did because I wanted him to know that I've been there and I don't want him to get there. Now, there's only right. so much that I can do by talking to them, you know, and I said it in my episode yesterday that you can tell somebody anything you want to try to make them do good. The person who's going to actually do good and make that person do good is that person. I can give you all the advice in the world. I can give you the bad things of not to do and the things you should be doing, but it takes you as a person to act on those things. And with summer coming and the last day of school on Wednesday, you know, I get kind of sad, you know, because the kids bring me up. They bring me up in my person, and not being able to see them and make sure they are okay. It's something sits in my heart that I need to constantly check on these kids just because I want to make sure that they do good, because I don't want anybody to hit rock bottom, because hitting rock bottom, it sucks. And if you don't have, again, those family to help you get out of rock bottom, it's just going to be a hard life for you, you know? And when I didn't talk to my mom and didn't speak to any of my family, man, I think that was the stupidest thing I've ever done in my entire life. And it happened for about a year and a half. And I was doing drugs and I was drinking and I was bouncing couch to couch. And the people that I was doing that with, they didn't give a crap about who I was. I was just the guy with them hanging out, doing the drugs and drinking the beer And I was stuck at that point, man, because all of them grew up and they got families and got the help they needed. And here I am now by myself still doing the things that I was doing. And I went back to my mom and I remember we just hugged each other and cried. Man, I couldn't picture and imagine life without my mother, you know, and that's going back to the not everybody has family. You know, and to invite people into your family. But my whole thing about this whole story is I don't really know how to say it. Be that person for somebody. You know, you don't know what that person's life is like. You only know what that person's life is like for 8 hours. Well, in my case, 8 hours. you know, after those 8 hours or on the weekends, what's really going down? Are they getting into trouble? Are they doing this, that, and the other? You really don't know, and you just have to be that person, not only for kids, but adults, man. You know, be that person for an adult. But it's kind of, I just have a big heart, man, and sometimes my big heart gets me into some trouble because people tend to then take advantage of you and walk on you, man. And you have a huge heart too. I know it. And I guarantee you that you've had people take advantage of you at times.
Right.
You know, but I enjoy talking to you, bro. I do. I generally enjoy talking to you. We're similar. That I didn't even know we were similar until you told that story in the beginning about your being bullied and having that friend telling the bully to back off. Just something, I feel like I've known you for quite some time, you know, and I don't care the age difference, you know, that doesn't matter to me. The color of your skin, it doesn't matter to me. None of that matters to me. What matters to me is I can generally sit down and have a civil conversation with you and see eye to eye, you know, and even if maybe you don't agree with something that I say or I don't agree with something you say, we are the type of people to forget about that thing. Okay, you don't agree with me, and we're going to move on. We're not going to sit there and argue about it. We're just going to disagree to disagree and continue to have a conversation we were having, man.
So, speaking on the issue about being that person, I've always had young men to attach themselves to me that don't have fathers. Because they don't see children around me, so they figure they can come in and they can fill that space. And so I generally let them. So on this one instance, probably about 20, maybe 6 years ago.
Is this the story that you told me when we first met? Because if it is, I want you to continue because it's a good story, man.
6 years ago. I ran up on this kid at the store, and I had a relationship way back in 2000 after I got divorced. I had a relationship with a woman, and it was because I was out there doing what I thought I could do, you know, anything. Like I said, I've been around a block a few hundred times. And so I met this kid at the store, and when we saw eye to eye, there was like an instant connection going on. And I noticed some things about him that he does and how he says it. He said it like me. And so I'm sitting here thinking about this kid. And he was at the store. He was panhandling, and I said, "So where is your mom?" And he said that she was at the house. And I said, "Well, I just got out of the hospital, and I need some things done at home." And I gave him my number. And so the next day he called me early, like 9 o'clock, he called me and he said, you still need your trash taken downstairs? I said, sure. So he was over, he already knew where I lived and everything. He Googled my house and everything. He had already been over in the area, so he knew exactly where I was. And so he knocked on the door, I answered the door. And he walked in and he said, "Where is the trash?" Because I was gonna give him $20 to do it. And this is a long story. And so we hit it off there a pretty good while, and I just kept asking him about his dad. And so he told me that his dad was in some part of Kentucky. And I was like, "Really?" I said, "So why everything you do it like me?" And I said, everything that I want to do, you want to do it. And I said, everything that I can do, you can do. And so even with a computer, with fixing stuff and cooking and keeping the house clean, he was the exact same way. And so I said, I want to meet your mom. And so he took me over to meet his mom. And we looked at each other. His mom looked at me, and I looked at her. And she said, Albert. And I called her name. And I said, so why you didn't tell me I had a son? And
Wait. So you didn't have any idea?
No. And he had actually moved in with me because of the lifestyle that she was living in and that what she had put him through. He never had a Christmas until he moved in with me. And this was before I found out he was actually my son. Because I told her, I said, I can tell because he does everything just like me. He's smart. He sings. He works on a computer. He loves everything electronic. He loves cooking. He loves everything that I can do, he can do. And so I was just kept looking at him and kept looking at him. We had grown so close till it was unmistakable. And I didn't tell him what I was going to ask her. And when I asked her, she said, because I didn't know where you were. I said, you didn't know that your son had been living with me already for 3 months. It was me that he was living with. She said, I never knew that it was you. How did y'all meet? I said, well, I know he told you we met at the store and all of that. And so it just worked out where in a million years, you never know your actions, the way you live, can influence a child. And now he got into, well, he didn't get into some trouble. They put him into some trouble. So he's now in prison in Tennessee. And so, but we talk every day. He said, you're the only one that I can actually have a real conversation with. He's 20 years old. He said, you're the only one that I can actually have a real conversation with and make me feel good about myself. And that's, he said, that's why I call you. I said, well, that's why I have to keep money on the phone. So you can get through this process easier, you know. So I feel like as long as he's there, I'm there with him.
Man, and that so, that's an incredible story, man. Like, I don't think, wow, that's amazing, man. That really is amazing.
I don't tell many people because it's not many people's business, but now iHeartRadio are going to get it in millions.
Everybody's going to know about it now, huh?
Millions might hear it. So
that's all right, man, but because that story, that's just...
I love my son. I love my son.
And that feels great. That feels great to say, doesn't it, man?
And I know what he's in prison for, he didn't do because he was with me the whole time. So, being from where he was, they wanted kids of that age, and so he had been into some juvenile trouble, and they wanted to keep him in the system, and they caught him in the car with somebody, and the car was stolen, so they just automatically charged him with carjacking along with the other guy. He was nowhere. He knew the car was stolen, but he wasn't in there when the car was being stolen.
Right.
He was at work.
Right.
And that was the thing. I told him, as long as you're living with me, you got to work if you can. So he never went without a job. He never got to the point where you can handle it by yourself. He always pitched in on the chores, as they say, the chores and the bills. He always helped me out on bills. I never had to ask him for anything. Whatever I was low on, he got out there and he worked and he provided. Moving in stores, working at a restaurant. And as soon as he became working age, he started working, and I love that about him. He won't let you do everything by yourself.
That's a good son right there, man.
It's a blessing. It's a blessing to know him, you know, because he's a great person, and we're gonna work on getting him out here pretty shortly. Once I get the finances together, we're gonna work on getting him out because his public defender didn't do his job. He basically helped put him in prison.
Man.
From the letters that he read me, yeah, his public defender actually made it coerced him into taking a plea deal.
Yep. That's how that works. You take this deal and do this time, and I get this much
right.
money. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's awesome,
right,
man. That's an awesome story. So I want to talk a little bit about your vlog, man. And the first question I got for you, man, and I'll let you go ahead and just talk away. Let us hear about it. Is what made you really want to start this whole vlog? You know, you share your personal stories, and you also end it with a positive note. Kind of similar to me, you know, what made you actually want to start in letting people know and try to prevent what you went through?
Well, I always blogged on my page, you know, telling people self-improvement, self-help. I've always blogged on my page. I always gave a quote to help somebody. And I always wanted a vlog, cooking vlog. And well, I say before I get the cooking vlog, I can go ahead and do a vlog just telling them what I went through and how they can, you know, do better. Just start letting things go and correct your self discrepancies and the circumstances that you're in, and stop justifying your situation from the actions of someone else. You know, he did this to me, so I'm gonna be depressed. She did this to me, so no. You control your own environment, and that's what I'm trying to teach people, how to control their own environment. And whoever's in that environment should have no adverse effect on your mentality. You should be the one teaching them instead of them teaching you. So if you get yourself in a situation where you get a friend that's totally opposite from you, and you're on the good side, they're on the bad side, I'm teaching you how to pull them over to the good side. And that's And when I didn't know how or when I was going to start it. I had to build up the muscle, and someone prophesied to me and told me that they saw me with a microphone and some headphones. And that was only 2 days before I saw your post in Facebook Marketplace with the headphones and the microphone. And I said, that's it. He's in Clarksville. I don't have to order from Amazon. And then it was like a third of the cost that it would take to buy it from Amazon. And so immediately I jumped on it. And maybe a couple of days later, I started the vlog when I figured out how to actually do it. I started it and man, I'm actually enjoying myself because I am a talker. I love to talk. As my mom said, my mom used to say when she was living, he'll talk your head off. Yes, I will talk your head off, but it's to help you.
Right, man.
You'll get tired. Yeah. You'll get tired, but you know that it's for your good, everything that I try to tell you, because I've experienced. You can't teach me if you haven't experienced it. You understand?
Absolutely.
And so, right. So if you come from Nigeria and you don't know how to live in America, and you're a teacher and a Nigerian professor, and you got your degree in Nigeria, and you come trying to teach me how to do and teach me my subject, it's going to be boring because I already know more than you. So I you know, a person that don't have wisdom and experience and understanding how things actually work, that some things you just have to let go, you know, they can't come to me and teach me anything, because I can turn it around and tell them how to fix the situation of them just blabbing. You know, find something that you actually know something about before you talk about it.
Amen. Oh my goodness. Amen. I couldn't agree with you more, man. Like, and I've come to the conclusion that one day we aren't going to talk face to face to each other, man. It's all going to be over social media. And that's the biggest problem in today's world, is we can all, you know, get into an argument over Facebook, but you're doing that because you're behind a computer screen. Are you going to talk that crazy to me to my face? You know, I'm all about face to face. You know, there's no reason to put everything on Facebook, and there's people that live on Facebook. You know what I'm saying? But why is Facebook need to know my business? They don't. And I used to put everything on Facebook, but now I'm sharing funny memes and stuff like that and doing my show on my Facebook page. But that's it. I ain't got time for the Facebook fake news. None of that, man. And it's just, it's a crazy world we live in, brother. That's for sure.
So Ron, the social media has poisoned the people's minds so much that we don't even use proper language to type anymore. We use emojis. And what happens is, I can tell you something and be feeling totally opposite than what I type to you.
Right.
So if I tell you that I like you and I put a heart beside it, I could actually be thinking the opposite thing. So that's why when people tell me something on Facebook or they inbox me with this, I said, call me so I can see your facial expression. Then I can know how you actually feel. When I send someone some music out of my vault and I let them listen to it, I said, call me so I can hear your reaction. I don't want you to type, oh, it was great. Yeah. How great?
Right. Right. Was it really great?
Was it the Great Wall great, or was it the Tony Tiger great? I want to know which great. So I got to hear it out of your mouth and I got to see it in your face. So video me. We got all types of ways to video people. So we don't have to basically just sit on Facebook and talk to each other, because we got video messaging, messenger video, we got Skype, we got Zoom, we got FaceTime.
So much.
We got Instagram video, we got Snapchat video, we got every app now except for YouTube has, you can actually talk face to face.
Man, you're right.
We're getting dumbed down because we have to use emojis and we have to use words we don't have to complete words anymore.
Man.
Instead of saying what's up, all you got to do is write WYD, what you doing?
That's
you know. Yeah.
Man, and there's another one that really cracks me up, and I see it all the time, and I want to say it, and I want you to, I don't know, maybe you've seen it, or maybe you even know about it, but I want you to just try to guess what.
I use a lot of them.
Man, so it's spelled I-O-N. Somebody would just reply with an I-O-N, or put an I-O-N in the middle of a sentence, and I want you to try to.
It says, I don't know.
Man, like, when I found that out, I did not know. I was like, ion? What the heck is an ion? And I was trying to, like, try to use some slang behind it, and I was like, I don't know, and I was like, I don't know. I was like, oh wow, like that's so silly to me, man.
I don't know. That's how it's pronounced. I don't know,
man. That's
Ebonics. It's probably going to be in Ebonics dictionary if you look in it.
Yeah, man, that's
so it's actually Ebonics. I-O-N instead of something dealing with science and biology. It's actually it's used in Ebonics as two words. I don't.
When I was growing up, man, I used to see Facebook pages. This was like 12, 13 years ago, and I used to see the initials BRB, and of course that means be right back, right? But for some reason,
right,
in my little world that I was living in, I always thought when somebody told me BRB, I thought it was kind of like them burping, like saying like, oh, I just burped. So I would respond with a, oh,
no,
excuse
no,
you.
No. Like, it's called social media language.
Man.
Social media have actually developed. Like, I was the first person to actually use, I didn't see it anywhere. I swear to God, I never saw the word bruh spelled B-R-U-H until I used it.
Oh,
it
yeah.
Just sounded so like U-H. And so I just put the B-R and I started seeing it everywhere and didn't know that I was the first one to actually start saying the word bruh instead of bro. You know, we say bro, but bruh, it feels like it's easier and it comes out faster than bro because you gotta round the O. But bruh is just one action.
That's it.
And it's even though it's longer than bro, but bruh is the common word used for brother.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Now the guys are actually calling everybody bruh, even the females or whatever. They're calling everybody bruh. Even the females call each other bruh, and they can be straight. They can be straight, not LGBTQ. They still call each other bruh.
Right.
Bruh is like, and I said to myself, I'm not going to say what I want to say because it could be very lucrative to me to do what I need to do with that word.
Right.
Tyler Perry, he's a well-known writer, producer, director, movie mogul, funny man, Bundy. He coined smiley face. He bought the smiley face picture. He went and did a trademark on smiley face. And he was, yeah. So anybody that uses a smiley face, they have to pay Tyler Perry.
That's crazy. That is
so anybody
crazy.
That uses the word bruh, they're gonna have to pay me.
Is that how that's gonna get? Man, you'll be making
yes.
bank at that point.
Yes, yes. So it's a very inexpensive process.
I owe you if that's the case, then I owe you quite a bit of money, brother. and I know I'm not the only one.
Because if you put the word bruh in the movie, you gotta pay for it. I'll get royalties from your movie. I don't know how much, but my patented word is in your, my trademark word is in your movie. It's on your script. So you gotta, no one started using that word. I was the first one that came up with that spelling.
That's crazy, man.
And now everybody uses it.
Everybody. And you ain't kidding, man. Even females.
Yeah, and that gets me to another point of how the industry is not taking care of themselves. Now, if I'm a gospel artist and I write a hit song, then did you know that everywhere that hit song is played or sang I supposed to get paid?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Okay, what artists don't know is there is a form that, like, say for instance, a group does a cover song. Well, if they do your cover song online, if they do your cover song in a club, if they do your cover song in a concert, they have to fill out a form. It's an artist performance sheet. And once they fill that out and they give you the credit, all they got to do is send it to BMI or ASCAP and you get royalties from it. So there's billions of dollars being missed because the big part of the industry is not selling the small part of the industry that they can do this and get paid.
So you're trying to make some money, ain't you?
Well, hey, I really want to from all the stuff that I've learned about the music industry as a whole, I want to actually be able to counsel people and steer them the right way as a nonprofit organization, you know? And
I like that, man.
Yeah, because there's so many artists out here, they're not getting compensated for the work that they do. The royalties are very low. It takes over 1,000 streams to get a penny. You know, it's not right.
Ain't nothing right in this world, man.
Look, getting back to the show.
Yeah, right. But I got a long day ahead of me tomorrow, man. We're gonna wrap this up. We've been on for almost 52 minutes, but thank you so much, man, for sharing all
man,
those
it
personal
was a
experiences.
It was a
absolutely, always a blessing
that.
Talking to you,
like,
my brother.
We forgot the word determination.
That's right, man. We sure did, huh? Let me hear. Tell me a little bit of something,
man. I can do it in 30 seconds.
Go ahead, brother. Let me hear what you got.
Being from the sticks, meaning the rural part of Mississippi, I grew up without. We had to raise everything. We had to raise our own hogs, cows, chicken. We had to raise our own groceries. We had all our meat. We had all our vegetables. All our food was at our house. And I was determined to live that same lifestyle, but on a grand scale. And so I'm determined. Working in the cotton field, I'm determined. Working more than 3 or 4 acres of yard every twice a week, I'm determined to not do those things again. I'm determined not to be in a big field anymore. I'm determined because I've gone through all of that stuff. And it makes this life is easier than that life.
So, right, man. And that's going back to not taking things for granted. You know, that's terrible.
Well, we take a lot of things for granted. And so when we get that determination and that willpower and that desire that motivates you to let your past motivate you into your future. Your past should be a conduit to your future. And so we often hang on to our past and end up failing in our future. And so let your past be a conduit. You know, let it be that Rolls Royce to your future. Let it be that RV to your future. Let it be that private jet to your future. Let it be that mansion to your future. Let it be your philanthropism, however you want to say it. Let it be that transportation.
That's it, man. I couldn't have said it better myself,
yeah,
brother.
Yeah. Humanitarianism. Let your past be, you know, help you become a person that actually helps people. And this is what I've been homeless. I've been outside. I've been like you on couches, on floors. I've done all of that. And it makes me sick when I see somebody outside on the highway in the median or off the median living in a tent. And we do have that right here on Fort Campbell Boulevard. We have people living on in tents under bridges. And I want to go get those people and rehabilitate them and give them some type of certification and put them to work.
That's it, man. That's great. You definitely have a...
I'm determined to do that.
That's it. Determination, man. That's great. You were just... I'm going to have you back on my show, man. That's a fact. And I want to definitely come and be part of your show as well, brother.
Definitely. Except they'll see your face.
That's it. That's fine. My face is, I'm not going to say beautiful, but I'm not a bad looking guy. You know what I'm saying?
Rob Canada.
But
for those of y'all that's listening in, Rob Canada is a great person.
Hey, I try to be, brother. I just want to help people and let people know that, man, don't give up. Ain't no reason to give up. If something happens today that really kind of threw you off track, it's all right. Wake up tomorrow and make it a better day.
Right. Wake up tomorrow and get your power steering fixed.
That's it,
man. Keep on going.
That is it. But like I said, you guys, you can find Dr. Al Wayne on Facebook and Instagram at Al Wayne TV. Check him out. Watch his videos. He definitely has good content, and he's not serious all the time. He definitely laughs in almost every single episode that he does, and I love that about him. You know, I got big changes coming to this next season of my show, you guys. I want to do some more interviews, and I want to... it's hard doing shows by yourself, you know, because you kind of are talking to the wall and may run out of stuff to say, but I hope everybody enjoyed this first time interview with a buddy of mine, and it was a great one. And Dr. Al Wayne, I appreciate you coming on here and chilling with Canada tonight, man.
Man, I appreciate you having me. I honestly do appreciate it from the bottom of my heart.
Awesome, and guess what, man? Now you about to be on our iHeartRadio, brother. You excited, ain't you?
Yeah, man. Many people don't get this opportunity. iHeartRadio is downloaded on everything that I own. And I listen to Anthony Brown's gospel station. That's what I listen to.
That's it, man.
Yeah. And so I'm always on iHeartRadio. Every day, no matter what I'm doing, I'm on iHeartRadio.
Well, you fixing to be on it for real. That's it, man. For real. But thank you so much, Dr. Al Wayne. Everybody, remember, you know, if you had a bad day today, it's okay. You know, wake up and make it a better day tomorrow. Be nice. Be the change.
Right.
And always stay positive. I just want to thank everybody for tuning in to another episode of Chilling with Canada, where we talk about anything and everything. Thank you so much for all the love and support, you guys, and I hope